Kol hakavod to all of you for reaching this far. We are in Psachim, Paragud Mishnah Test, 10-9, the last Mishnah of the Masechta. And we have a couple interesting halachas about the Korban Pesach itself. It says, HaPesach Acher Chatzos, the actual Korban Pesach, after midnight, Metame Esa Yadayim, it will cause one's hands to be tame. Why? Because ha-pigel va-nosar, when it comes to things called pigel and nosar, as I'll explain in a moment, mitamin esayadaim, those things make your hands tummy. Okay, so first of all, just let's understand the meaning of these words. When we say tummy, to make your hands tummy, so understand that when it comes to a person becoming tummy under normal circumstances, meaning midoraisa, that only can happen if you have a source of tumah, an afa tumah, and if it conveys its tumma one or the other to a person, then the whole person, as opposed to just his hands, would become tame as a rishon latumma, at least, and could be even more under certain circumstances. Now, the fact that we're saying the hands are tame already tells you we're talking a tumma derabanan, and certainly a nosar or a pigle korban is certainly not an avatumma. So we're talking about a tumma midurabanan here. The rationale for these tumas, I'll explain in a moment. But so we're saying that these two things, pigla and nosar, convey tuma, and we're saying that the Korban Pesach is nosar, not explicitly, but that is the pshat here, the Korban Pesach at midnight chatzos becomes nosar. So what's nosar? Nosar, we know already, is leftover meat from a offering, past the deadline where you can no longer eat anymore, it becomes nosar leftovers. The consequences for eating nosar is karis, divine excision, and it happens only once that korban reaches its deadline. Our Mishnah here is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds that the deadline for eating a Pesach is midnight, chatzos, midoraisa. What's his basis for that? Because he has a gezeirah shava. The pasuk says, "Va'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh." That's the pasuk in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Ches. It says, and you will eat the meat, balayla hazeh. And that phrase, balayla hazeh, appears again a few psukim later when the Torah says, va'avarti ve'eretz Mitzrayim, and I'll pass through the land of Egypt, balayla hazeh. The same phrase, on this night, v'kesi chol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt. And when did that makkah of the b'choros, the striking down of the firstborn, occur? It says later on, another pasuk chavtes, where it says, Vahi b'chatzi halayla, it'll be at chatzos, the middle of the night, v'Hashem hika chol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem strikes down all of the firstborns in Egypt. So you see that makkas b'choros happened b'layla hazeh, at chatzos, and the time for eating the Korban Pesach is b'layla hazeh, understood to mean until chatzos. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's shita, and this mission is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Don't forget, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva understands that the time for eating the Korban Pesach midoraisa is the whole night, until Los HaShachar, first light of the morning, and he only has the requirement to eat by chatzos to be a din derabanan, and therefore he wouldn't agree with this mission that it's nosar. The reason why Rabbi Akiva says it is because the pasuk elsewhere says, well, really in the same parak, but it says, v'chaltem oso b'chipazon, you'll eat it a rush. I'll translate it as a rush. And he understands, when was Sha'as Chipazon? When was the time for the rush? That was when the Jews were getting ready to leave, which was the next morning, because it says, Va'atem lo teitzu ish mepesach beisu ad boker. Pasuk says, people shouldn't leave their houses until the morning. So until the morning comes, there's no Chipazon, no rush to leave Mitzrayim. So therefore, Bekizan understands that you have the whole night, midoraisa. Rabbi Azariah rejects that limit, because he says the Chipazon that we're talking about, in the pasuk talking about v'achaltem oso b'chipazon, the chipazon time is when the Egyptians were rushed to get the Jews out, which happened at midnight in the wake of the makkah b'choros. Okay, fine. So that being the case, our Tana is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There are other mishnayos that the Stam Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. It's a machlokas rishonim, who the halach is like. Tosfos and other rishonim learn like the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and chatzos is a doraisa. The Rambam and other Rishonim learned that it's just a derabanan. Whatever the case, we're saying that according to this Tana, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chatzos is a deadline, at which point the Korban Pesach becomes Nosar, and therefore it has a din derabanan of being tummy to convey tumah to one's hands. That means that the Nosar Pesach, like any other Nosar, is a Rishon L'tumah, and the hands become Shniyan L'tumah, a second-degree tumah status until they get washed. The same goes with Pigul. Pigul is something unrelated altogether, but it's got the same din. One who eats Pigul is Chayav Karas, and Pigul conveys tumah as a Rishon. What is Pigul? Pigul is when one does any of the four essential blood avodas, the service of the blood, meaning the Shechita, the slaughtering of the sacrifice, the Kabbalah, the receiving of the blood, the Holacha, the bringing the blood to the Mizbech, and the Zrika, the application of the blood. If at any of those four steps a person has even a thought, even if it's just a passing thought, one he doesn't act on, but just a passing thought, that he will do some essential part of this offering outside of the proper time. Specifically three things. Either he thinks he'll apply the blood outside of the proper time, or he thinks that he'll eat the meat outside the proper time, or he thinks he'll burn the meat as appropriate on the Mizbeach outside the proper time, whatever the proper times are for those things. So at that point, if he has that thought, he is mifagel, he renders the offering pigul. Pigul means like disgusting, literally. Nosar means leftover. So pigul, like nosar, carries with the penalty of karas. If you eat it and if you touch it, it makes your hands tummy because it's like a rishon l'tumah, your hands become shniyim. Why did the rabbis make these dinim derabanan, making nosar and pigul convey tumah? Because they were concerned about kohanim not doing a good job. And when it comes to the issue of the nosar, the concern was that perhaps kohanim would be lazy, they wouldn't work fast enough to eat the korbanos, not the korban pesach. That's not even by the Kohanim per se, but any other korbanos. So therefore, we want to rush them along and let them know that if they don't hurry up, then what they have left in their hands will make it so they can't eat other food till they go rewash their hands, which will be a pain in the neck for them. And to avoid the pain in the neck of having to rush their hands, so they will be more careful about touching and no sorry letting it be left over in the first place. As for the pigul, that's for chashidik kahuna. It's for suspecting Kohanim who do the wrong thing, either on accident or even maliciously, to mess people's korbanos up. And so, again, there's some sort of economic disincentive, if you will, for them to not think those thoughts and mess things up. We say, listen, if they do, they'll have to go wash their hands, which at least is some, on some level, a pain in the neck for them, which will prompt them to be more careful. Okay, so that's the first part. Now, the second part. The Gnudin. When one eats the Korban Pesach, he says a bracha. It's the bracha B, as you might expect. Baruch ata Hashem alakinam alacholam, asher kedishonu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. And then, there's actually a bit of a machlokas rishonim, what the girsa would be. Either, according to the, it's either le'echol ha-Pesach, to eat the Pesach, or alachilas ha-Pesach, on the eating of the Pesach. Whichever one it is, so fine. The point is, there's a special bracha to be said on eating the Pesach. Similarly, when one eats any korban, there's a bracha to be said. That bracha would be Asher Kedushan B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Le'echol HaZevach. Again, that's the Bartanuris Pshat. Others, like Le'echol HaPesach. Others would be Alachilas HaZevach, on the eating of the offering. That's a Ramam's halacha, whatever. Okay, so again, the idea being there's a separate bracha, Alachilas HaZevach and Alachilas HaPesach, two brachas. The question is, what happens if you mix them up? Can one cover the other? So, we have machlokas on that point too. The Mishnah says, Beirach Birkas HaPesach. If one made the bracha Alachilas HaPesach or Le'echol HaPesach, but he was eating, he said that on the Korban Pesach, let's say, either accidentally or prior to eating from the Chagiga, that's coming at the, remember, at the same time, under a variety of scenarios, you would have your Chagiga that you brought on the 14th of Nisan, the Chagigas, the Yudala, the 14th of Nisan Chagiga, that you would bring and eat first as the main course, so you'd have Achilas Alasova, eating under on a full stomach and get to the Pesach. So if you made the bracha of Le'echol Asa Pesach, that would poter, would exempt you from making the new bracha Al HaZevach. However, Berach Es Shel Zevach, if you make the bracha Le'echol Asa Zevach, Lo Pater Es Shel Pesach, that wouldn't exempt you from making another bracha on the Korban Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. So Rabbi Shmuel, in other words, is saying, in short, that if you make a bracha on the Pesach, now you're covered for your zevach. If you make a bracha on the chagiga, if you make a bracha al achilas zevach, al echolas zevach, on the chagiga, you're not covered. You have to make another bracha for the Pesach. Okay, why would that be? So the two Gemaras get different explanations. My preferred explanation, which is, I think, much more straightforward, is that since you're, so to speak, only bringing a chagiga to, as like a forerunner, so you will have, be able to eat your Pesach ala sova, on some level it's tafel, it's secondary and subordinate to the ikar, the primary, korban Pesach. Kind of like when you're eating your Cheerios and milk, you make a bracha on the Cheerios, you don't make a bracha on the milk because the milk is just coming to make the Cheerios edible, something like that. So that's a general rule. In general, we say when you make brachas, you make a bracha on the ikar and the essential part, and that the tafel, the secondary, is covered automatically, something like that. So here the idea is, if you made a bracha on the Pesach, that's the ikar, that would exempt the subordinate, the chagiga is coming with it. Whereas if you made a bracha on the subordinate, the tafel, the chagiga, that wouldn't cover the Pesach. That's how the Yerushalmi explains it, my preferred explanation. The Bavli understands that the brachas are somehow intertwined with the way in which the blood is applied to the Mizbeach. So, just a bit of background on that point. There are 8 categories of korbanos, of zvachim. Now, they have different procedures for how the zrika, the application of the blood, is to occur. The chatas, you dip your finger in the blood and you apply it to like the 4 korbanos on top of the Mizbeach. Most korbanos, including the chagiga, which is a shlamim, but the same would be true for an asham and for an ola, etc., is you do zrika. You send it a distance, you splash the blood. For all the examples I gave, you would splash from the 2 corners, the northeast corner and southwest corner, achieving shlam shem arba, getting on all 4 walls above the yasod, and you do it from a distance. When it comes to the korban Pesach, like Meiser Behema, the way that the blood is applied is not splashing and throwing, it's by a single pouring from up close. Like you pour it kind of gently along the edge above the yasod there. So, the way that Rabbi Yishmael is learning is that the brachas are intertwined with the blood application, and he understands that if you're allowed to, like applying it up close with pouring is somehow like better, if you will, than throwing it a distance. So if you can throw it a distance, you wouldn't be yotzi. I'm sorry. That means if you have to pour it close up, you wouldn't be yotzi if you throw it at a distance. Whereas if you have to throw it a distance, you would be yotzi if you poured it from close up. That being the case, the Pesach, which is done close up, kind of covers the chagiga, whereas the chagiga, which is done only at a distance, wouldn't cover the Pesach. That's the Bavli explains it. Okay, Tzorachin, a little bit on exactly why the brachas are intertwined with the mode of blood application. Be that as it may, that's Rabbi Yishmael's Shita. There is a side question, how it would be that one would say a bracha on the Pesach before getting to the Chagiga? So one answer could be just made a mistake. Alternatively, it seems that perhaps, that, like the Rambam understands, perhaps that there is 2 separate consumptions of the Korban Pesach, one at the beginning and then one at the end, kind of the same way we talked about, like the Rashba and Rashi learned in the previous mission about the matzah, that the ikar consumption of the matzah is with the afikoman at the end, that's your ikar mitzvah. So kind of the same thing will be over here. You eat a small bit of Pesach ceremoniously at the beginning, and then at the end, eat the Pesach more. So that's how you could have 2 stages and have a Pesach preceding the Chagiga. Okay, all that aside, Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo zu foteres zu, velo zu foteres zu. He says, no, each bracha goes to its own thing. If you make a bracha on the Pesach, it doesn't cover your Chagiga. If you make a bracha on the Chagiga, it doesn't cover the Pesach. Each one has their own. And the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, so each one needs their own bracha and gets their own bracha, and one wouldn't cover the other one. And that's the din. And with that, Baruch Hashem, Mitzvah Tishmaya, we finish Meseches Pesachim. Mazel tov to everybody. And up next is Meseches Shekalim.